Good evening. Good to see you again, my friends, and happy that you are here. If you are visiting with us on tonight, we want to say welcome to the Church of Christ. We're always trusting and praying that something may be said or done that might encourage you. And maybe you'll come back again and worship with us as we worship God in spirit and in truth. It is so good to see you. And before we get started tonight to this beautiful congregation, I really want to thank you for all that you have done. You have treated me so nice since I've been here. I arrived at the Summers home on Saturday night, and they had food prepared, and we've been eating and eating and eating. Man, this is fantastic. Wake up in the morning, and there's a beautiful breakfast, there's dessert, there's everything, and they have just been so nice to me the whole time staying with them. I really love that. It's better to stay with them than going to a hotel. That's how good they've been. And then I come to this beautiful place, and I meet you people, and you are just fantastic. Your friendship, I'll never forget this, and the time that we spent with each other. And we went door knocking this morning. I had a chance to go out there and do that, and we had a great time doing that. It's nothing like that, being able to do something for Jesus. But I'm really going to miss you, but I really got to get back to my wife. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting back there, but I'm going to miss you as well. I really am. We're going to start our lesson on tonight, and this is our last lesson. Man, it went so fast, didn't it? And here we are at the last lesson. For this evening, for our first point, we're going to try to tackle this in two ways. We'll look at several passages of Scripture that will deal with, can you lose your salvation? And then we'll end with a story on tonight that will show us an individual who was saved and did something wrong and then had to do something about that. And so that's the way that we will go on this evening. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be turning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. As tonight we'll be talking about, can you lose your salvation? We'll see what the Bible says about this, because that's really what we want. We want to be able to see what the Bible has to say about this matter. And then we have, beyond shadow of a doubt, we have no choice but to believe what we've seen in God's word. In Luke chapter 8, we're actually talking about the parable of the sower. We're talking about the parable of the sower, and there were certain things that happened within this text. Briefly, the first group that we actually hear about is those that fell by the wayside. Then there's another group that talks about those that fell upon the rock. What we want to do is look at verse number 13 of Luke chapter 8. And in verse number 13, notice what we see in terms of, can you lose your salvation? Verse 13 says this: they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. What are we talking about? We're talking about people who have heard the word, they've received the word with joy. Then the text goes on to say, these have no root in them, which for a while they believe. They did hear the word. They did act upon the word. They believe. They became believers, but they didn't have any root within them. And so when time of temptation came, they fell away. If once saved, always saved was true, these people would have never fallen away. You can lose your salvation. If you're not studying and if you're not rooted and grounded in the word of God, you can lose your salvation. We see that in Luke chapter 8. We're moving forward and we're looking for the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll meet a man there. His name is Paul. His title is the Apostle Paul. Paul in this text begins to talk about running this race that we may receive a prize. And then at the end of this, in verse number 27, Paul will say something in terms of being a castaway. Notice what you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If you get a chance to look up that word castaway, the word castaway means unapproved, rejected, or disqualified. Unapproved, rejected, or disqualified. What is Paul talking about? Notice verse 27. But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, Paul says, listen, not only am I preaching to others, but I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I keep that and I bring my body into subjection. I have self-control. I'm making sure that I'm obedient to the same thing that I'm saying to others. Notice what he says. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It could be that Paul could be preaching the word of God, and if he is not careful, he himself could become a castaway. He could be disqualified. He could be rejected. He could be unapproved. If an apostle can lose his salvation, don't you think we can? This is the Apostle Paul. And you mean he's concerned about trying to live right? If once saved, always saved was true, this man would not be concerned about that. But yet, not only is he going to preach the gospel, but he's going to make sure that he lives the gospel as well. You're leaving the book of 1 Corinthians, and you're looking for the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 3. When you get there, we'll look at something that the Hebrew writer has written here in the text. Can you lose your salvation? Notice what we see in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12. In verse number 12, the writer says this, take heed, and if you want to underline anything, it would be the word brethren. The word brethren. In order to lose your salvation, you first have to be saved. We have individuals that are saved. Notice verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In order for you to depart from God, you first have to be with God. You mean we can depart from God? Yes, we can. He says, take heed, brethren. He's talking to the church. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We have to take heed. There could come a point in time where you start going downhill and you begin to go into unbelief, and before you know it, you'll depart from the living God. It is true. You can lose your salvation. We're still going throughout the Bible, and we're going to take a pit stop in 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter, and you're looking for chapter 2. And I will see what Peter has to say about this matter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And when you get to 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll start at verse number 20, and we're going to work our way down to verse number 22. Peter's going to be talking about individuals that are saved, but then they went back out into the world. Notice what you see at verse number 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now they have escaped the pollutions of the world. How did they do it? Through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This is so serious that one can lose their salvation that Peter says it had been better that they had not known the way of righteousness then they would turn and go back out into the world. Notice again verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then this is what it's like. Notice 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. If that sounds sick, it's supposed to. If that makes you say that's disgusting, it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that way that when we're living our life as a Christian, we try to stay as far away as we can from sin because it's just like a dog going back to vomit and eating it again. And we say that is sick. And God looks at our life and he says, that's sick. When you leave me and you go back out there into the world, we're just like that dog. Doesn't it turn your stomach when you see your dog do that? You're actually trying to stop your dog from eating that. God is looking at us when we go back out into the world. He says it's like the dog who's turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire is just like a pig. You clean him up, and he goes right back out in that dirty pig pen again. You can lose your salvation. Maybe that's why the Bible reminds us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do I need to study? Because I can lose my salvation. And the more I study, I'll get stronger and I'll be able to walk away from that. That's what Peter says. Let's look at 1 John, if you will. You're flipping the page. And 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start at verse number 4. In this context, the Apostle John is actually writing to Christians. These are individuals who are saved. Notice what the text says in verse number 4 of 1 John. Verse 4 says this, And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Notice this, these things we write unto you. He's writing to the church. Notice verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Notice what else he says. From verse 6 to verse number 10, you're going to see one word that is repeated over and over again in each verse, and it's the word if. Sometimes it's not the big words in the Bible that pack a punch, it's the small words. You're going to see this word if appear in each verse from verse 6 down to verse number 10. Notice what we have in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That word if is our condition. Notice verse number 7. If we walk in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. Well, what's going to happen if we don't walk in the light? We're not going to have fellowship one with another. And we're not going to have fellowship with God Almighty. That word if serves as our condition. Now, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It is safe to say all of us have committed sin. And if we say, no, I haven't, then verse number 10 says we're lying. It's safe to say that all of us have sinned. Notice what the text says. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You mean he'll forgive us of our sins? Remember now, we're talking about people who are already saved and they have committed sin. He says, if we confess, he's going to forgive us. Well, what's going to happen if I don't confess? He's not going to forgive us. We're just going to keep this as simple as we can. If he'll forgive me if I confess, then he won't forgive me if I don't confess. So then I can lose my salvation. If I do not obey the word of God, and if I do not act upon the things that are written in the book, I can lose that. Notice verse number 9 again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us, or his word is not in us. Yes, you can lose your salvation, but if we remain faithful and we continue to hang in there, imagine where we'll be. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, and you're looking for Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, you begin to talk about the seven churches of Asia. And in Revelation chapter 2, you're starting at verse number 1, and we're going to work our way down to about verse number 5. There are certain things that Jesus will say to this particular congregation, the church at Ephesus. He will encourage them on things that they're doing that are right. And then he'll begin to get on them about things that they're doing that are sinful and wrong. Remember now, they are the church. That means that they are saved individuals. The Bible lets us know in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear that them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patient, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Jesus says, listen, I know you've been doing some good works, and I want to acknowledge that. I know you've been standing up for that which is right, and I want to acknowledge that. And I know that you have brought down false teachers, those who claim to be apostles and they're not, and I acknowledge that. But then verse number 4, the first word that you're looking at is nevertheless. Something else is going on. Jesus says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left. If you want to underline anything, it'll be the word left. He says, thou hast left thy first love. Who was their first love? Jesus. They have left their first love. Notice verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. What do we have so far? They have left. What's the next thing we have? They have fallen. The text goes on and says, and repent. Why is it that they have to repent? Because they left Jesus. They have fallen. And in order to get back in right standing with Jesus, you must repent. The text goes on to say this. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You mean you can lose your salvation? Yes. But if you repent, everything's going to be all right. But what will happen if I don't repent? You will lose your salvation, just as Jesus said to these individuals. It's true. You can lose your salvation if we're not faithful to God Almighty. Those are just a few verses in the Bible that point that out. Let's look at a story in the Bible where we'll look at two individuals. We'll look at Philip, the first deacon, one of the first seven deacons in the church. We'll look at a man whose name is Simon the sorcerer. And then we'll look at what happens when Peter and the other apostle come into Samaria. We'll see what happens there. You're going to Acts chapter 8. And when you get to Acts chapter 8, we'll begin reading in this story and see what we can walk away with in this text. We'll start at verse number 5 to set the setting here. We have Philip now. He's about to enter into the city of Samaria. Our first job is to make sure that we have individuals that are saved, because you can't lose your salvation unless you got to be saved first. So we got to get these individuals saved first. And let's do that by reading verse number 5 and following. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip came into town that day. He began to preach the word of God. He has the power to be able to heal individuals, and he was doing that. The text goes on and says this in verse number 9. Here's our second character. His name is Simon. Notice verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. There's a man. They refer to him as Simon the sorcerer. He's bewitching the people. That term bewitch means to amaze or to astonish greatly. He's bewitching the people. He's giving out himself that he's some great one. Notice verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. But then we go down to verse number 11. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But, verse 12, here's our contrast. Something is about to happen, and notice what takes place. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. We have people now, Samaria, they have obeyed the gospel. They're saved now. Notice what we have in verse 13, because we need Simon to be saved in order to understand this story. In verse 13, it says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, He's saved now. He's a Christian. He's a child of God. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Not only was this man baptized, but he sort of centered himself around Philip. And he watched Philip. And he saw him perform those miracles, wonders, and signs. And then in verse 14, here comes the apostles. Verse 14 says, "And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, clearly, when these individuals were baptized in verse number 12 and verse number 13, they received the Holy Ghost, same Holy Ghost we receive today. They did what they did in Acts chapter 2. They repented. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when Peter and John came to town that day, the text says in verse 16, "For as yet he was fallen," talking about the Holy Ghost, "has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Now, here comes Peter and John. They laid their hands on the people. The people received that power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they already have the Holy Ghost, as we get today, from being baptized and being obedient. But Peter was able to lay his hands on them along with John and impart something. Now, notice what we have in the text in verse 18. "And when Simon," this is that same Simon, not Simon, the old Simon, the sorcerer, but this is Simon, a baptized believer. This is Simon, a child of God. "When Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money." Could you imagine his eyes getting so big that day? This man has already bewitched the people for a long time, giving off that he was some great one. All of a sudden, Peter and John come to town and they start laying their hands on those people, and he saw what was going on, that through laying on the hands, they received the Holy Ghost. And the first thing Simon says is, "How much would that cost for me to have that power?" He offered them money, the text says. Notice verse 19, "saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." And then here's Peter in verse 20. "But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Peter says, "Simon, your money is going to perish with thee because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Then Peter says this in verse 21, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Peter says, you don't have any part or lot in this matter. In other words, administering spiritual gifts. You have no part or lot in this matter. What we're doing by laying hands on these people, you have no part or no lot in this matter. Peter is very clear in explaining this to him. He says, number one, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He's a saved man now. He was just baptized in verse number 12. But for some reason now, this saved man, his heart is not right in the sight of God. He's got to do something about that. The Bible says clearly to us in verse number 22, here's the remedy for that. Peter says, "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." But now Simon is a saved man. If once saved, always saved was true, why does Simon need to repent? If you can never lose your salvation, why does this man need to repent? You can lose your salvation. That's why Peter says, "Simon, you tried to buy the gift of God with money. Your heart is not right. You need to repent of this thy wickedness." What he wanted to do was wrong, and he needs to repent of that. If once saved, always saved was true, Peter didn't have to say anything to the man. Peter could have just said, "You can't do this. But he never would have had to say, you need to repent. You need to change from your ways. You need to forget about this. He didn't have to say any of that. But the fact that you can lose your salvation, Peter is trying to help this man. Peter says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. You mean he has done something that he needs to be forgiven now? Yes. If once saved, always saved was true, this man wouldn't have to do anything. But now he has to repent. Now he has to pray to God. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven, that God will forgive him of this. I didn't notice what you see in verse number 23. Peter says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then here comes Simon. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Simon's scared now. Simon has heard what Peter has stated. Peter has stated, you need to repent because what you are thinking is wrong. Simon didn't actually buy the power of the Holy Ghost. He offered money to try and buy it, but couldn't do that. We're dealing with a man who's making an attempt to try to buy something, and that was wrong, to buy the gift of God. The thought that he had in his mind, that was wrong. Everything in this setting here, this man needs to repent of because he's going to lose his soul. That's why Peter says clearly in 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Anytime we do something that is sinful and wrong, we've got to repent of it. And if we don't repent of it, we're going to lose our soul. Do we have a scripture for that? Yes, we do. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If we commit sin and we do not repent of that, we're going to lose our soul. Do we have to confess that and make this right? Did not John say that? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But if we do not make any confession, then there's not going to be any forgiveness. These are Christians that this text is speaking to, and they have stepped across the other line and have committed sin, and they had to change. They had to stop that. They had to repent of that. Can you lose your salvation? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you can get it back again by simply repenting, by simply making things right with God Almighty. If you could not lose your salvation, could you imagine what this world would be like? Think about it. You go down in the watery grave and you're baptized. You become saved now. You would never have to go to church again in your life because you're already saved. I would be out of a job. Amen. I would not even be preaching. If once saved, always saved was true, could you imagine the chaos in this world? James Bond has a license to kill. We would have a license to sin. And there would be nothing that God could do about that. There is no way that the Almighty God would set a system up that way. That's why there are verses in the Bible that remind us that we should remain faithful. As Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 in the latter part of verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death. Why do I need to be faithful if I'm always going to be saved? Why do I need to live faithful unto death if I can never lose my salvation? There's a reason why Jesus said that. Listen, Jesus is not just throwing things out in the Bible blindly just to be saying these things. He's saying these things because he's trying to save us. Our brother Simon committed sin, and he had to repent of that. And if he did not, he would lose his soul. And Simon clearly says, look at verse number 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Simon says, listen, I need you to pray to God for me that nothing that you just said will happen to me. I want to make this right, and I want to move forward living a righteous life. It is true. You can lose your salvation. And we can gain it back again by repenting and making everything right with God Almighty. This beautiful book called the Bible is trying to take us from this place called earth to a beautiful place called heaven. And you've got to do everything that you possibly can to make it there. I tell you, you don't want to miss out on this place called heaven. It's a beautiful place. And when you get there, they can't kick you out. Amen. You'll be there and it'll be like one long day that just lasts forever and ever and ever. And you don't want to miss out on it. You need to love who you need to love. You need to forgive who you need to forgive. You need to start living right, and you need to start pushing yourself forward so that one day you'll hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I wonder if you're here tonight, and I wonder if you have surveyed your life, and if you have determined where you stand with the Almighty God. You know whether or not you're saved. You know whether or not you have a relationship with God. You know whether or not you need to do something before it's everlasting, eternally too late. If one wants to be saved today, most of the information that we covered already, we're going to end up covering that again. We're going to be going back to the Bible just to explain matters of salvation in terms of what we must do in order to be saved. We know that we need to hear the Word of God. And as a result of hearing the Word of God, it does something for us. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, Paul says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When we hear the word of God, it produces faith. If you don't believe that, just think about it for a second. We've never seen a man named Noah, but we read about him. We read that this man and his sons built a massive ship called the Ark. We've never seen it, but we believe it. We heard about a man named Moses who stuck the rod out and departed the Red Sea. We didn't see any of that, and we didn't see a man named Moses, but yet we believe that. We believe about the walls of Jericho and what Israel did in compassing the walls and how they fell down flat with the trumpet sounding and the shout. We didn't witness that, but we believe that. When you hear the word of God, it produces faith. You then take that faith and you begin to believe in God. You begin to believe in his son, Jesus the Christ, the same Jesus who lived, died, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. After we have established belief in God, we move to the next step, and that is repenting of our sins. Again, Jesus said it clearly in Luke 13, 3, "I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We must repent. We must stop doing that which is wrong. We must change our mind about sin. We must turn away from that which is wrong and come back to Christ Jesus. And then after repentance takes place, we then need to make the mouth confession. What is it that I need to confess? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the same confession that's found in Acts chapter 8 and latter part of verse 37. Does everybody have to make that confession? Yes, we do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue, that's everybody. Everybody has to say and do the same thing. And after that confession has been made, it's time for us to be baptized. What will baptism do for us? In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, Paul said that day, "For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ." Baptism will do what? Put you in Christ, where you put on Christ. In Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16, Ananias said to Saul that day, "And now why tarrest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins and calling on the name of the Lord." According to that verse, baptism will wash your sins away. Anything that you've done that was sinful, when you're baptized, is washed away. And you come up a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then after you've done that, we need to remain faithful. How long? All the way until death. At the point of death or till we die, we need to remain faithful. Salvation can be yours tonight. You can leave here being a saved individual. Or if you are saved and you realize that there's something in your life that you need to correct, why not take advantage of that tonight as well? before we all lose our salvation. If you're here tonight and there's any way that we can help you, feel free to come as you all together stand and sing the song of invitation.